Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
First off, season edition of Locked On Grizzlies coming your way, and you will hear from Mark Gasol. Had a chance at a media day to end the season to sit down with Mark for a little while and have a pretty expansive chat about a lot of different things. You'll hear from him and some very interesting comments about this season, about changes in style, about his relationship with Mike Conley and the rest of his teammates, about pointing the finger, and so much more. It's an interesting chat, and you'll hear it next. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, everybody. My name is Peter Edmiston. Welcome into the off-season. That's right, off-season edition of Locked On Grizzlies, and we're going to keep this thing rolling over the next little bit. Now, you know me, of course, as the host of this pod, but also as host of Wallow and Peter in the Morning on Sports 56 and 87.7 FM here in the Memphis area. Also a contributor for the Commercial Appeal in the numbers game. Doing lots of fun stuff. And we're going to keep this podcast rolling throughout the off season. I don't know yet about the frequency of the pod, if it's going to stay daily throughout the entire off season. We'll certainly stay daily for the next little bit, I would imagine, as we roll through some of the interesting things that we heard from Media Day. Yeah, I want to give you a long form of a lot of those discussions because there were some really interesting things that were said and kind of, you know, need to take a little time to do them. Plus, I think you guys would want to hear them in their entirety rather than highly edited up the way that, you'll get them on some other outlets. So I'm going to give them to you here over the next few days on the podcast as kind of additions of the pod, and also as kind of a way to kind of de-stress as the off season is upon us. You know, it happens pretty quickly. We were talking the last time we spoke on the pod about game six. It has come and gone, and that's it for the season. So, you know, we will certainly chat a lot about, you know, kind of where this thing is going to go from here. We're going to talk about what the future will hold, free agency, those decisions, you know, any potential changes that may be made, possibilities, that kind of stuff. We're certainly going to get to all of that on the pod throughout the next few months. Now, one thing I do want to ask of all of you, a few things, if you would. I want to say thank you again to all of you guys for being huge parts of this thing. You know, we couldn't do this without you. I certainly couldn't, wouldn't want to. So thank you for all of your support. Thank you for supporting the sponsors, our friends at Grizz Essentials. Thank you for supporting them. Thank you for supporting SeatGeek. Thank you for supporting the Locked On Podcast Network as we have been in our first full season and has been really a big success. And I want to say thank you guys for all of that, not just Grizzly fans, but NBA fans all around the world listening in. It's awesome. I have heard from a lot of you guys. Thank you very much for your comments. In particular, Clay Thomas, who wrote me a very nice email, and I appreciate that very much. Thank you for that. If you want to get in touch, you can do that. And I'll go ahead and even tell you, just send it to my my personal email, peter@sports56whbq.com. That's the easiest. And that if you want to send a personal correspondence, just go ahead and send it there. Business stuff can go to my other account, peter@peteredmiston.com. So I want to say thank you again to all of you guys for that support. Now, one thing I will ask of all of you is if you want to continue with the pod throughout the summer, I'm going to need your help. So please feel free to send me any ideas, things that you would like me to cover. We're going to kind of do some analysis of players. We're going to do some evaluation of players off season, look at the season that they had. You know, that kind of stuff. We'll be getting into that, maybe some team stuff as well. But if there are any ideas, things that you would like to delve into that you think would be really fun, go ahead and fire me off an email or send me a tweet or something like that. @PeterEdmiston is my Twitter handle. and we'll try to do them. We'll look into it, and I'm looking for as many fun things as we can do throughout the off season that are not the obvious stuff around free agency and draft time. Should the Grizzlies end up acquiring a pick, and even if they don't, we'll certainly talk a lot of draft here on the pod. So that kind of stuff would be great. I would appreciate that. Please feel free. Let me know what you'd like to hear, and that will help guide the podcast over the next few months. May change the frequency a little bit. I don't know if I can do it daily throughout the next, 5 months of off season. There will be some times when we do vacations and that kind of thing, because I'll spend time with family and all that. I got to get away from it for a little bit, but I'll do my best to keep a pretty consistent schedule, and I'll make sure to let you know of any changes if they are forthcoming. Now, obviously, the Grizzlies falling to the Spurs, and you saw yesterday the Clippers, losing Game 7 at home to the Jazz, a familiar sight. The Grizzlies losing Game 7 at home to the Clippers in one of the kind of the first major run or one of the first few major runs for that Clippers team. So it's kind of ironic, I guess, that it may come to an end with a home loss for the Clippers in Game 7. They have big offseason questions, much bigger, really, than the Grizzlies have. When you start talking about, Chris Paul likely becoming a free agent, Blake Griffin likely becoming a free agent, J.J. Redick, they've got so much money that they would have to spend. And even if those guys want to come back, which I think Chris Paul will because of the money that he stands to make, but Blake Griffin, maybe not. Don't know. That will be. And even if he does come back, should they trade him? Should Doc Rivers come back? A bunch of questions for the Clippers that are probably quite a bit bigger than the Grizzlies, although they find themselves in similar spots. Two teams with a really strong core group, a core group that I think the Grizzlies core group gets along better than that Clippers core group, but the same kind of thing you're talking about with a core group that has had some success, but you always feel like they probably should have done a little bit more. At least this Grizzlies group did get to a Western Conference final. You can't even say that about the Clippers group. And as much hype as they have, you would expect that they would have. You would expect that they would have, in the same way that you probably would have expected more success from the Grizzlies. Certainly, Marc Gasol did. And that kind of leads me to what we're going to talk about today on the pod, and that is Marc Gasol. Had a chance to talk to Mark pretty extensively on Media Day, and he was, and you'll hear it kind of in the interview, he was pretty quiet, pretty subdued. I'm not going to say, sad or, depressed or anything like that. It wasn't anything like that. He just was very, I would say, maybe contemplative or introspective in the way that Mark is sometimes, and I think willing to kind of be pretty honest about how things went this year to the extent that he could be and that he was willing to be. And you'll hear that in the interview. I think there's some real honest truth. Some of it probably some self-critical honest truth from Mark. And we've talked about it on the pod. He's a very frustrating player because that talent level is so high. He's got so much to offer. There's so much there that the guy can give, but it just doesn't come out in a consistent way. And that something seems to be holding him back, and I don't know what that is exactly. And he kind of refers to a few things in the interview here that you might think about in that context. You might think about, kind of how this season has gone for him. You might think about, the fact that he's older, the fact that he's, had a child this season, the fact that he's, there's so many different things that could have been on his mind, coming back from the foot injury, all that stuff. So, maybe that stuff played on it, maybe it didn't. Hard to say with Mark. But we start off by asking about just overall Mark's impression of the season. And of course the interview goes on from there. So take a listen and enjoy. This is Marc Gasol here on Locked On Grizzlies.
It goes with the team always. good with him. Inconsistent. Couldn't accomplish the things that I wanted to accomplish as a team. And that frustrated me very much, especially the second part of the season. You know, couldn't really take the team to the level that I thought I could as a unit. So that really took a toll on me.
Why do you, when you look back at?
Because I would expect, to be the best team that we can be. And I didn't think that we accomplished. Obviously, we have great character. I think that we are very competitive. We always, will step up and try to fight anybody that is in front of us. But when it comes a sense of a team and having that the clarity of what you want to do, I didn't accomplish that. And for that, I feel like I failed on that regard for sure. And I don't look at numbers. I mean, the only number I care about is the 43 wins, which is way too low to be the team that I envision as being. 43 wins is not acceptable just because it happens things like we saw just now. You get crossed against the San Antonio Spurs, and it's way tougher to go ahead and pass that round in the first round than maybe at a semifinal or a final. Those things are really important. You have the game five at your place, a lot different than having the game five at their place, and for that you got to be consistent all year, and we weren't that, and me first.
What is your assessment of Coach Fizdale first year?
My assessment, I tend never to assess coaches. I never did it with David or Lionel or even Mark. It's just not my place. I think the guys that, everybody has a boss, and I'm not the one that bosses him. And I think, that's more for the front office guys to answer.
Are you about to play for Spain?
Oh yeah. I mean, hopefully he doesn't hurt, but that's the goal. Yeah. Take missed the last 2 years. I think it helped me tremendously to be with those guys as well. We don't get that many chances. I don't think that Pau is gonna, even though he looks great, to continue to play forever. So any chance that you get to share a team with your brother and obviously many other friends, playing with the national team, it's something that we take a lot of pride in. And like I said, I haven't been able to do it the last 2 years.
From a style standpoint, the way that you guys have played and sort of transitioned a little bit this year, does that transition need to continue? Can you go and play the way that you had played for years and still maintain success, or do you have to adapt?
You have to adapt. You adapt to life. You have to adapt to new challenges. It's how everything is presented. And convincing the team that's what's best for the team, not one guy or the other guy. It's like this is what gives us the best chance to win, and it's going to be a complete package.
Was that part of the issue in terms of adaptation this year, going from one? Because it seemed as though sometimes you guys were stuck between the past and the future in terms of the way you wanted to play.
I'm sure that at the time where decisions were made and all the consistency happened. They were, at that time probably looked what best gives the best chance to win, because at the end of the day, if we don't win, nothing looked good. And then when we win, everything looks great. So I'm sure that decisions were made with the best interest for the team. It's just the ups and downs really got us. I don't think we meet at a happy middle anywhere, and sometimes that can be frustrating.
It feels like we had similar kind of things before years.
So what?
This sort of like, if we just did, because the year you guys were on pace to win 55 and then kind of trailed off in the house two or three years ago. And there were injuries last year. Yep. Is there something that just, with this group or something that there's always a little push-pull there? Because it always seems as though there's just something.
I don't know. Maybe me. I'm the first one to look in the mirror and see, the things that I've not done well, or I had a hard time dealing with. You know, I'm the first one to look into the mirror, and that's the first thing you got to analyze is what can I do better. So I might be the problem. And you never know. So you got to be willing to accept that it's the things that you must do better as a player.
When you talk about analyzing your season or your role and whatever happened, what is that process? How does it happen?
The first thing you try to do is perspective. Try to remove yourself from the situation, try to get a little perspective, and then reflect on it and try to be honest with yourself. That's the first thing you're going to do. You got to be honest with yourself. Obviously, you know, when friends and family, at least I don't have a lot of friends and family, but the friends and family that I have, they don't talk to me about basketball. But a lot of people around us talk about basketball and give you their opinion and why they should use you more and you know, you're so great and beautiful. You know, your mom is never going to tell you you're ugly.
Right.
So, you know, you got to be honest with yourself and understand the things that you know you got to work on. So, first perspective and then honesty.
Over the years,
yep.
As you guys have grown, you and Mike came here as basically kids, really.
Yep.
I mean, now you've got kids of your own.
Yeah, and a Memphian.
That's right.
I got a Memphian.
That's right, you should do.
Yeah.
Has the nature of your relationship with him changed? How is that? Have you guys
It just continues to grow. Obviously, this year he had a much bigger load, and probably, you know, he wasn't as, you know, he was dealing with a lot of stuff on the basketball side, but all the other stuff is beautiful. I mean, you're talking about, you know, having a family and having kids and to continue to grow here in Memphis. I mean, all those things are great things. When you look at it, it's what we do, and it's our family. It's joy and happiness, and we continue to grow and support each other. I think that's the key. Me and Mike, we trust each other so much, and we know where each other come from. Every single time that we might, you know, even now and then, get mad at each other, but the since we know where we come from, it would last, you know, maybe a split of a second.
Does the perspective of having kids and growing like that, does it change the way you look at basketball as a function of your life or as any of that stuff?
No. Basketball is, like I said before, is sort of my obsession. This is my, you know, it's obviously not who I am, but it's what I do. Whatever I do, I take it very seriously. And to me, there's no gray areas on how to do the right things. And, you know, it's not, I'll do it now, but not tomorrow if I feel okay. It's either you do it or you don't. And you don't talk about it, you just show it. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, you can tell me all the right things and then come tomorrow and don't do them. Not good enough.
Do you, with this offseason now, so much different than last year?
Yeah.
Do you have a regimen in mind?
Start right away. Start right away. You can get a little more restrictive with your nutrition now because you not have to compete. So start with that. Work out.
Are we still raw? Everything raw vegetables?
No. I mean, obviously that, but you know, this year we try to implement a little more paleo stuff. You know, but it's still really everything clean, organic, you know. So just continue to educate myself in all those areas. Continue to try and stuff, new stuff that I never heard of. And the guys, you know, one of the things that we don't talk about is the medical staff that we had this year. It was much improved from years before. They added more people, more resources. So, you know, that's one of the main reasons why you have older guys like Vince, Tony, Zach being healthy for the most part of the year.
Overall, for you, on an individual level,
yeah,
is this success? I mean, taking away from, is there anything?
No. I mean, obviously there's good, like I said before, it's not success.
Is success only with team success? There's no individual success without team success?
No, it's just that plain and simple. It will be fooling yourself. This basketball is not tennis. It can be, I mean,
If the team doesn't win, that doesn't matter what you do. If the team does not win, you didn't do good enough, or you didn't do, you didn't make your teammates better, or you didn't communicate enough, or whatever it is. You know, if the team doesn't win, at least, you know, and you can lose. It's fine with losing. It's how you do things. I mean, we talked about it before. It's how you do things that are really important. So, yeah, continue to grow. That's you adapt. You move on.
Did you feel like on a personal level that you dealt with teammates in the way that you wanted to? We had talked about that at the beginning of the season, that you wanted to be more positive, that you wanted to be more.
I think for the most part, with my teammates, we've grown a lot, and we. I don't know. I mean, they should be speaking out more than I. But I try to always give them confidence. You open, you shoot it. And I'm gonna give you the ball. I don't care who you are. If you open, I want you to have the confidence enough to shoot it, because you open, and I want you to shoot it, because that makes us a better team, and that's simple. And that's what I try to do. And you know, obviously, you need help with that. Because a lot of it might frustrate you at the end of the day. So I need a little bit more help. I think, helped with the young guys as much as I could. So I think we have a great prospect in Didi. Deontay, it's somebody that has a bright future for us.
I was just talking about how much you appreciated your mentorship.
It's just passing on what was taught to me as I was growing up and what I was in his shoes. But you don't, you have the right guy to do it. You got to find the right person to do it. And I think, and you got to be in the right mindset to do it too. So I think with him and me, I think, create a platform to do those things. He's that guy.
Let me know what you thought of Marc Gasol's interview. Get back in touch with me via email or on Twitter. Love to hear from you. I thought some very interesting comments about kind of when I asked him about the consistency and the fact that this has been kind of an ongoing thing, and he says, maybe it's me. I don't know. I think he was... kind of a little bit joking, but then not really. I think that he was legitimately kind of thinking about his role in all of this stuff. And that was an interesting kind of exchange there. I think also the discussion about his relationship with Mike Conley and how it's changed over the years, about his own personal level of success, the fact that he says there's just no individual success without team success. This is not tennis. And that discussion about how good a guy like Chris Paul is, to Mark, he would say it doesn't matter. He's not, his team hasn't done anything. So you can't really look at individual numbers as anything. He says, I don't want to look at numbers. He thinks 43 wins was far too low for this team. He said at a different point in the interview that he expected 55 to 60, which seems a little high, even in the best case scenario for this Grizzly group, but that was his expectation going in. So anything short of that is disappointing. So the individual stuff for Mark has never been that big of a deal, and it never seems to be. And that's pretty legit. It's pretty legit as far as that goes. Now, does that carry over to the rest of the team? That's the harder part, because Mark's approach and his mentality isn't something that other guys can really do. It's not, he's so introspective and he's so critical of himself and others that it's hard, I think, for him to be a leader in that normal sense. It just doesn't work. So what do you do? How does that change? He thinks, and he said he thought he did a pretty good job with his teammates. I think he probably did in parts. Certainly his relationship with Deontay Davis, as we closed out the interview, that is something that means a lot to Deontay and to Mark. And that's real. That's very true. He really has put his arm around Deontay, especially but he Jarrell has a good relationship with too. But he really sees something in Deontay, and he's really tried to work with him quite a bit. And that can only help Deontay to have a guy with Mark's savvy and his ability taking that close of an interest in his career. So Mark continues to be a very complicated guy. But, he's super talented. I just wonder, how it's going to work with him and Fizdale over the course of the upcoming next few months and into next season. What happened this year was not really sustainable. They've got to find a better coexistence, I think, as far as how they want to play and all that stuff. I think that's something that they're going to have to work on, because they do have kind of diametrically opposed views about what the role of a player should be and what the role of a leader, should be. So that's something that they'll have to work on in this off season. Now, again, you'll hear coming up later on this week from Vince Carter. I think some fascinating stuff from Vince Carter. You're really going to enjoy that one as Vince goes deep in his own personal feelings about chasing rings, about loving the game, about the changes of the game, about what he has to do, about how he feels about this stuff, about motivation, all that stuff, his future, you name it. He was just, there's just so much good stuff. I want to make sure to give it to you in a full pod of just Vince. That's coming up probably tomorrow. Later on, you'll hear from David Fizdale, Mike Conley, among many other players, Zach and Tony too. And Tony had some interesting comments for yours truly, as a matter of fact, throughout his interview. He doesn't forget if you ever write anything negative about Tony, he tends to file that thing away and does not let it go very easily. So you'll hear some of that stuff coming up too. So this has been Locked On Grizzlies for this Monday. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again, and you'll hear from more players and more about the offseason continuing throughout the weeks to come here as we continue on the pod. Have a great Monday, everybody.